KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy, 72 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly this evening, and then again later tonight. We'll have a high today around 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Police in Council Bluffs report one person was injured during a motorcycle accident late last night on Interstate 29. Officials say 34-year-old Chad Bamer of Carter Lake was found unconscious by his crashed motorcycle near the 54-mile marker of I-29 or near Avenue G at around 11:50 p.m. The cycle and Bamer were found in the depression between the off-ramp and on-ramp from Avenue G at I-29 southbound. A preliminary investigation indicates the cycle was traveling north on the interstate when, for reasons unknown, it left the road to the north. Bamer was ejected from the cycle, which flipped several times before coming to rest. Officials say Bamer, who was wearing a helmet, suffered life-threatening injuries. He was transported to Creighton University Medical Center, where he was reported to be in serious condition. Authorities say alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash, which remains under investigation. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
A head-on crash that occurred during the early morning hours of June the 9th in Dallas County has claimed a second life. Family members report 20-year-old Jesse Leeper of Adair died early Wednesday morning at a hospital in Iowa City. Leeper was the driver of a car that was struck head-on by an SUV that was headed the wrong direction on Interstate 80. The driver of that vehicle, 24-year-old Megan Wakeham of West Des Moines, also died in the crash that happened about a mile east of Earlham. A third person, 49-year-old Lori Wallace of Greenfield, was injured in the crash when her SUV hit the rear of Leeper's car. Two passengers in Leeper's vehicle suffered non-life-threatening injuries. A Harrison County woman was sentenced to up to 10 years in prison following a fatal two-car accident near Missouri Valley in February of 2012. Online court documents say 32-year-old Carrie Lynn Collier, who is formerly of Woodbine, was sentenced Monday in Harrison County District Court to 10 years in prison. She was also fined $1,000. Collier pled guilty on May the 7th to an amended charge of vehicular homicide. As part of the plea, all of her simple misdemeanors, including driving on the wrong side of a highway, unlawful passing of a school bus, and financial liability, were waived. By pleading guilty to the vehicular homicide charge, Collier admitted to causing the February 1st, 2012 accident that took the life of 54-year-old Jeanette McGrew of Magnolia. The accident happened at the intersection of Highway 30 and Ann Street, about 2 miles east of Missouri Valley. Collier was also ordered to pay $150,000 to McGrew's estate. Authorities say no charges will be filed in connection with the shooting of a dog Wednesday evening near the Guthrie County town of Jamaica. Greene County Sheriff Steve Hopper told the Des Moines Register a boxer had become aggressive toward an unidentified man who was trying to open the gate to a farm field about 4 miles north of Jamaica at around 6 p.m. Wednesday. Hopper said the man feared for his safety, got into his truck, and fired a single shot at the dog, killing it. The animal belonged to the man's neighbor. Hopper said the man was within his rights when he shot and killed the dog because under Iowa law, it is legal to kill a dog that is threatening or attempting to attack. Hopper said he interviewed the man Wednesday and believed he felt seriously threatened by the animal. The sheriff says after the man shot the dog, he drove to the owner's home about a block away and informed them of what happened. 10 AmeriCorps programs in Iowa will receive $2.7 million for projects that include mentoring youth at risk for dropping out of school, building Habitat for Humanity homes, and improving public lands and trails and through habitat restoration. U.S. Senator Tom Harkin said the money comes from the Corporation for National and Community Service, a federal agency that encourages volunteer work. The focus of many of the programs is getting young people involved in community service. Grants will go to Iowa Western Community College, Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley, Community Corrections Improvement Association, the Des Moines Independent Community School District, the City of Dubuque, Graceland University, Habitat for Humanity of Iowa, the Iowa DNR, Iowa Legal Aid, and the United Way of East Central Iowa. The director of the Family Crisis Support Network in Atlantic is dispelling rumors the shelter for abused women and their children will be closing due to a loss of approximately $240,000 in state funding and a failure to receive other forms of grants or funding.
I know there's rumors going around that Family Crisis with not getting the funding from the grants that were submitted that our shelter is closing, and that's not true. We aren't going to close the shelter at this time.
Speaking before a meeting of the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday morning in Atlantic, Richter addressed some questions that have arisen over what the shelter can and cannot do at this point.
What we cannot do is serve victims of crime any longer. They have taken that away. My understanding is there's a process of entities such as mine that have done it in the past that we could make application to do so. They have not approved that application. We have not seen that application. So I don't know what that means at this point.
Richter said those agencies that have been serving crime victims are only recognized as doing so. The FCSN is a member of two coalitions which allows their staff to work with victims of crime, but effective July the 1st, any entity not funded by the state will not be recognized as a crime victim service agency.
Because we own our shelter, well, we're a private nonprofit agency that is governed by a local board of directors. So just because they don't fund us doesn't mean that they can't shut us down. So since we own our shelter, we didn't figure there was any reason at this time to close it. We've had conversations with other entities in the county just to determine, is there a need? Do we think that we need to keep the shelter open? I think we'll take time.
Last month, Richter said they have enough money in their so-called rainy day fund to keep the shelter open. She says one option they could consider is becoming a transitional housing facility instead of a shelter.
We, as a board and staff, have been looking at, what about having a transitional house instead of calling it a shelter? Because, again, it's essentially the same thing, but your verbiage sets up different definitions. Transitional, shelter, it's short-term. It's not long-term. Transitional, you have one long-term. And what we see a lot of times with the individuals that we're working with is they can't get the resources they need in a short time. Then you look at those resources maybe kicking in 3 or 4 months, but then you might need 3 or 4 months additional time to get on your feet. So instead of going out and paying rent and deposit and utilities and all of that right away, what about allowing them a longer stay? Those are some things that we could do at the house that we currently have.
She says there are numerous grants that can be applied for if they change the basis for their service, such as to a transitional house. But the FCSN is not making a decision on that at this time, and it will stay open as a shelter until such time it's no longer financially feasible to do so. The City of Atlantic's Board of Adjustment will hold public hearings on July the 8th with regard to two variance applications. One application comes from Joseph and Karen Reisberg of 54886 650th Street in Atlantic. That would, if approved, allow for the construction of a storage shed which would not conform with the zoning ordinance rear yard setback requirement. The shed would be located at 423 Elm Street. The other application from Larry and Marlene Hummel at 2803 Country Club Drive in Atlantic would allow for the construction of a three-car garage. That does not conform to the street yard setback requirements under city code. The public may make comments in person at the hearing set to take place 7:30 a.m. on Monday, July the 8th at City Hall. You can also submit written comments in advance to the city clerk's office. If there are any questions, you can contact Zoning Administrator John Lund at 243-4810. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, stocks are headed for a lower open in the wake of yesterday's comments by the chairman of the Fed Reserve. He said the Fed would pull back on the massive bond buying program that for months has propped up the markets at home and abroad. The number of applications for jobless benefits is up by 18,000 to a seasonally adjusted 354,000. Despite the gain last week, the level remains consistent with moderate job gains. The Labor Department says the less volatile four-week average increased by 2,500. Doctors say actor James Gandolfini died of a cardiac arrest. They say the 51-year-old Sopranos actor had a heart attack last night while vacationing in Rome and died some 40 minutes after arriving at the hospital. Italian law requires that an autopsy be conducted 24 hours after a death. And the Taliban in Afghanistan says if the U.S. releases five of their senior operatives being held at Guantanamo Bay, they'll release U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who disappeared from his base in southeastern Afghanistan in June of 2009. Earlier this month, Bergdahl's parents received a letter from their son through the International Committee of the Red Cross. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Susan Benson Blaine, age 61, of Harlan, died June 13th in Harlan. Graveside services for Susan Benson Blaine will be today at 10 o'clock at the Danway Cemetery at Kirkman. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Bernard M. Wolf, age 88, of Harlan, died Saturday in Harlan. Funeral services for Bernard Wolf will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Herita Dearson, age 63, of Banning, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Herita Dearson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Sandra Rayanne Sandy Speedling, age 70, of Earlham, died Monday at the Cavanaugh House in Des Moines. A funeral service for Sandy Speedling will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earling. Galen Boyd Smith, age 75, of Avoca, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Graveside services for Galen Smith will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the Minden Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Eva Lucille Pelzer, age 96, formerly of Atlantic, died last Friday in Indiana. Funeral services for Eva Pelzer will be held tomorrow at 2:30 in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Guy Richard Barton, age 80, of Exira and formerly of Brayton, died February 18th. Celebration of Life services for Guy Barton will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. And Bob Rogers, age 89, of Cumberland, died June the 11th. A Celebration of Life fellowship and luncheon for Bob Rogers will be held beginning at noon on Saturday at the Cumberland Community Center. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.